Hi everyone, welcome to People I Almost Know. I'm Michelle and my guest today is Larry Carter, also known as Larry the Deuce. I almost know Larry from commenting on lots of the same places, and that's kind of an unusual way to get to know somebody. But Larry seemed to me to be a really interesting, fascinating person, and I wanted to get to know him a little bit better. I was not disappointed at all. Larry is pretty fantastic, and I hope you enjoy this talk as much as I did. So let's get started.
Hello?
Hi, is this Larry?
This is Larry. Is this Michelle?
Yeah, hi.
Hey, Michelle.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. How about yourself today?
I'm doing good. Well, before we get started, would you like to tell everybody a little bit about yourself?
Oh, sure. My name's Larry Carter. I'll soon be, real old at the ripe old age of 45. I've been married to my wife in about a month and a half for 21 years. We have two great kids, one is knocking on the door at 19 and in college, and then my son will be 15 here in about a month, and he's in the middle of high school. So
wow.
That's what we do. We chase kids around.
That's a long time to be married.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of weird. It was a super short engagement. Met in December of 1991 and got married in September of 92. And, You know, it's been a big load of fun ever since.
A big load of fun. I haven't done anything for that long.
they said it wouldn't last, you know. So.
What do they know?
Exactly.
Well, one of the things that's different about you than the other people that I've talked to, I was thinking about this. You're actually one of those people that I've been fascinated by for a long time. And of course, you would never know that because you don't just, you know, tell people, hey, you fascinate me.
I don't know that I've ever done that before. So that's interesting. I don't know what that's all about.
Well, I tell you what it is that I kind of feel like I met you through comments on other people's blogs, because it seemed like, here and there, places that I would go and some places I go all the time and some places where I would just follow a link to read something interesting or places that I visit randomly, and you would be there in the comments section. And I just kind of felt like I got to know you through your comments. And it was really, I was always like, man, that Larry just seems like, he seems like a great person, a nice guy. You always seem so honest and very, like, you put thought into what you say and very genuine. And so I thought, man, he's somebody who would probably be really, you know, cool to know. Like, it makes me want to know even more about you.
Yeah, well, I'm really good at fooling people, right? I wasn't sure. I sat there and I kind of scratched my head. I was like, how did I get to know Michelle? Because, you know, I don't remember how I get to know everybody.
I know.
On Twitter and then blogging and everything. So that's interesting. You know, there's a couple of other people that I've met that, kind of the same way. One gal from Missouri that... kind of know her through Jeff Cohen's blog and now comment back and forth to each other on Twitter. So,
Well, and I thought that was interesting too, because on your about page, there were two people that commented on there that said, oh, I know you through so-and-so's commenting on so-and-so. And I thought, so it's not just me, you know?
Yeah. And therefore, you know, I guess probably for a year, I really made a big effort just to make comments on blogs that I liked. And I still do, you know, but wow, time just kind of kills you if you try to do that mm-hmm. too much. So I probably am not doing it quite as much, but you can still find me commenting pretty often.
Well, and that's one of the things I was thinking about also. It's funny that you say that, because I was thinking the same thing. I was like, you know, I just don't get around as much as I used to. The more that you do and I don't want to say the bigger your blog gets, because my blog's not big, like, you know, but I guess the more people you follow and the more people that you interact with, it gets harder to spend as much focus time. You kind of get...
Right. You really can't. And, you know, you... I mean, we have lives too, right?
Well, some of us do. me not as much.
Well, I mean, you know, just like right here, you know, I got off work, you know, I put in my, you know, 8.5 hours, 9 hours today, even lunch, really, I was working. So, you know, I worked all day. I'm over here waiting on my son, you know, you have everything else, church, family, you know, plus all the other junk that we have in life. Yeah. So, I mean, you just can't do it all. And, you know, you want to live so that you actually have something to write about on your blog. So
that's a good point. Well, let me ask you this question, because sure. That's how I felt like I got to know you. I got a really good idea in my head about what kind of person you are. I was wondering, is being open and honest and, you know, just putting it out there kind of in spaces that aren't your own, do you find that hard, or is that just something that comes natural to you? Because to me, it feels vulnerable, and I try to be honest and say what I'm really thinking, but it's harder for me outside of my own blog space where I feel a little safer.
Well, it's kind of funny. My wife says that I'm the outgoing person in our family, as far as between the two of us. My daughter really is the super outgoing person, but I'm kind of in the middle. You know, I would not say that I'm a super introvert or super extrovert. I don't like big crowds, as far as I don't get energy from that. I have to retreat, you know, and into myself. But as far as commenting, it's easier on other people's blog in a way, because especially at the beginning when I don't know them, you know, I just kind of, hey, here's my reaction to what you wrote, and you know, and I've gotten to know you know, a lot of people that way, and you know, so like Rob Shepard, you know, I feel pretty comfortable on Jeff Goins, you know, a few others that I comment pretty regularly on. It's actually backfired on me on my own blog, being honest. I've probably written a few things that I shouldn't have, especially a couple of years ago, and it backfired on me personally and in my personal life and in my own community. But, you know, that's way in the past. So,
well, I mean, do you think that's because, in your personal blog and that space, that people get more of an idea of who they want you to be, and, or something like that? Or,
well, part of it was, I live in a, I don't really live in a town. You had Ricky on a couple of weeks ago, I think, Ricky uh-huh. Anderson, and he likes to give me a, you know, a shout out every once in a while. I live in the holler, and I live in a little holler about a mile from a town of 300 people.
Oh my goodness, so, that is small.
You know, yeah, so we generally in the whole community, we probably have a couple of thousand, maybe. And
there's high schools bigger than that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the high school that my son goes to is right at that size. So, and you know, and what I tried to do is I tried to be a little honest and a little funny in a blog, and it maybe some local folks didn't. They kind of took exception to it, kind of backfired, and kind of you know, it didn't. You know, it caused a few problems. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah. Well, and you know, there's not that many people that I actually know in real life, I think, that read my blog. So maybe that's a good thing that.
Hey, you know, you wouldn't think that I would have that many. I mean, I really don't. I might, on a great day, you know, I might have 30 people read my blog. When I wrote some things that I shouldn't have, man, it exploded, and it was all within my local community, and it was a little tense there for a little while, but I think we worked through it.
Well, that's good. I'm glad. You see, you're too nice for people to hold a grudge. But you know, that's so interesting, and it's one of those things when you want to be true to who you are, you want to be true to your thoughts and everything like that. But there's things that I won't write about for that reason, that on the chance that, you know, somebody, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, or and so I really can understand these people that are, I follow a couple that are completely anonymous, but they can write whatever the heck they want. Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah, and I learned an important lesson, and you know, looking back 2 years later, I wouldn't have written a few of those. So, I learned and moved through it and gained a lot of experience, and I'm better for it, so.
Well, and that's the best we can hope for, is to learn as we go.
Exactly.
Well, you know, talking about blogging, I saw you said that at the end of the first year of Deuceology, you said you'd been blogging for 2 years before you became a blogger. So tell me about that. I mean, this has been another, I guess, year and a half since you wrote that.
Yeah, in November, it'll actually be 5 years since I wrote my first blog post. And the way it came about was I was teaching Sunday school in my church, but I had all these other things that I wanted to write about and all these other thoughts, and I didn't know how to do it. Didn't know how to express them. I didn't have any other forum to do that. And a friend of mine, he was a pastor, and he worked with me, and he was also blogging. He said, "Well, you ought to write a blog." I went, "Really? Yeah. Why would I do that?" And he said, "Well, you know, you can just go it out there and, you know, somebody might read it." And I said, "Well, okay." You know, so I started out, I thought, man, I'll write this blog. I created it, and it's really way in the past. I don't blog there anymore, that first blog that I wrote. And I would write, you know, a whopping 2 blog post a week, and sometimes I'd go a month, and I didn't know what I was doing. I was just writing whenever I had something on my mind. And then I decided to change, you know, because I had a different idea, and changed to another blog, and I wrote that one a little bit more consistently. Mm-hmm. For probably a few months, and it did okay. And then I changed to Deuceology, and for whatever reason, that's when I say took off, you know, that's relatively speaking. I had learned a little bit through those first 2 efforts and kind of watched and probably, you know, continued writing blogs. I started writing daily in May of 2010, I believe. And, 2011. And did that daily for a while and kind of watched other blogs. That's when I actually started looking at other people's blogs, reading them, and commenting. And that's when I saw a lot of, started building basically what I call a community. You know, there's this community of bloggers that I've seemed to be attached to. Ricky Anderson, Rob Shepard. I don't know if you follow Bill the Cycle Guy. A few others, and of course John Acuff. Jeff Goins, some of those guys that I've kind of looked at and tried to learn a little bit from. So
I'm always interested when I see or hear about people who, you know, started doing one thing and then just kind of switched. I mean, did you just change the name, or did you like totally start a whole new thing, or was it hard to give up what you already done?
Well, like my first one, it was called Odd and Sundry, because I thought, I didn't really have a focus. I just thought, I'll just write my odd and sundry thoughts. And it was, and really, I kind of had this idea that, okay, I'm going to show everybody what I know.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And what I realized after doing that for about a year or so, that I really didn't know anything. You know? And,
oh, gosh.
And then I changed it to this one, and started moving more toward the Deuceology thought with this next one that I called it. I started before Twitter, before I was on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
So when I joined Twitter, I became Larry the Deuce, and I assume you read that.
Oh, yeah.
Why I have that name. But my next blog was called Confessions of St. Larry the Deuce. And, you know, I don't know what I was thinking with that dial. You know, a couple of my friends even said, that's crazy. I'm like, well, you know. First they said, what are you confessing? I said, well, it's not that kind of confession, you know. Think more of Confessions of St. Augustine. And that lasted, like I said, for a little while, and I just didn't like that. It was, you know, that's a lot for somebody to have to type in to try to find my blog.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
You know, so, I started thinking, well, you know, Larry the Deuce, was thinking more in terms, okay, I'm going to, you know, more, my thought is theology, so let's combine the two and, you know, make it deuceology.
Well, it's cool and simple and memorable.
Yeah. You know, so, I like that one. I'll keep it. I'm wanting to go to a more self-hosted blog here in the near future, and I want to keep that title. That's kind of become my trademark, I guess.
Right, yeah.
And how people would find me. So that'll be an easier transition than the others.
Well, let me ask you this. How has, even though you felt like the others were leading you kind of toward deuceology, and it seems like you feel pretty comfortable with where you are now in your blogging and your writing and everything. So how, since you started with the very beginning with deuceology, has your writing changed or your viewpoint changed, or has anything changed? Has it just matured, or is there differences?
Yeah, I think a lot of it has matured. I wasn't happy. I'll be honest with you. I wasn't happy when I wrote that first blog or the second one, or even when I started deuceology. I was I'm not saying that my life was unhappy. I mean, overall, I was happy, but as far as just some different areas in my life, I wasn't happy with them, and that was reflected. I feel like I was negative when I first started, and like I said, you know, I was trying to prove what I knew and how my view of certain things was the right one. So I was just trying to, you know, show people how smart I was, and now, you know, I've written. Yeah, you know, I've written 780 deuceology posts, maybe.
Wow.
I think. And I wrote, you know, probably 200, 250 of those other two blogs. I've written 1,000 posts, basically, over three blogs. And I think I'm just now really learning who I am. You know, if anything, that's what I've done. I've learned who I am. And I decided at some point, I'm not sure when that was, that I would be positive. And that I wouldn't, you know, do some of those negative things that I would do before. And quite honestly, no one wants to read a negative blog.
Oh, you know? That's true.
And I don't, you know, and it kind of hit me square between the eyes. Like, you're doing what you don't even like. I'm like, okay, well, let's change the emphasis a little bit. I just want to. I want to be positive. I want to add value to other people's lives. I want to glorify the Lord. If someone happens upon it, I want to be able to share the gospel in some way. So, those are kind of my three emphases, I guess, emphases that I kind of aim at with everything. I'm kind of wrapping up a couple of things. I've been writing for my wife. I've written a fiction post on Saturdays for the last, since October, I guess. Mm-hmm. And about 40 of those, I'm going to try to wrap that up. I like writing fiction, but that was my first time trying to publish it. And I've learned a lot, but it's just a little bit much to try to come up with a new, on top of all the other writing, to do that every Saturday. And then I do a campground ministry on Sundays, and I just, what I'm going to preach and talk about at the campground, I do a post on Sundays, so gonna wrap that up, and I'm gonna shut, doing Sundays down. And I need a little bit of time to just unwind. I write a lot, so.
Well, yeah, and like you said, you need to have some time to yourself, but you need to recharge those creative juices too, you know.
Sure.
Ever since I kind of met you when I first started blogging, which is at least it's about 2 years ago, so I would kind of check into your blog every now and then, and I really, you tell me if I'm wrong about this, that I felt like there was a little bit of searching going on. Like I would read something and you would be saying, hey, here's the truth. This is the truth and this is what I figured out. And then a little bit later, I might check in 6 months later and it would be the same kind of thing. You're like, well, I thought I was on the right track, but maybe I wasn't quite on the right track and I think I am now. And I thought, man, I can really relate to that. It felt like there was some searching going on. And as I was, checking in on you before we were going to talk, I'm like, it doesn't feel like that anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's really a strange thing. And that whole thing when I started, it ended up, we left the church. And for the next year, we were searching for a church. And, That was interesting, to say the least. We visited a lot of different churches. We settled on one that we thought we were going to be in for a little while, and it just didn't work out. And we ended up at a church, ironically, 5 minutes away from our house. we had been driving for 30 minutes, and we ended up at one, just down the road. And it was actually a church that we had helped start about 10 years before.
Really?
Yeah, and it's one of those, we left in a very immature fashion, led primarily by me. Well, 100% by me, let's just say it that way. And we ended up back there, and I think that has, it's really affected our lives. And when I said I was unhappy, that was really it. I was unhappy in my church life. And for the first time in well over a decade, we're happy in our church life. And so that's really, I think, played a stabilizing role. And just the way I described it, because I talked to them, to the whole congregation, and a lot of them didn't even realize that I had helped, start the church. I was like, for, almost a decade, I was in the desert. And just kind of, I felt like I was the nation of Israel, wandering around in a circle, except for my shoes wore out. The Israelites, their sandals didn't wear out.
And your shoe, you wore through them shoes.
Exactly. So, I think that, it's hard for me to be a good judge of what differences are in my blog. Does that make sense?
Oh, certainly, yeah.
I write them, and a lot of them I haven't gone back and reread. So I occasionally will go back and catch one, and it's like, golly, did I write that? Jeez, that was stupid. I think as much as anything, and like I said, I'm nearly 45. What I've realized is that, I've got a story, and that's what I'm trying to tell. I'm just trying to tell a little bit, in bits and pieces, I'm trying to tell a little bit of my story. And I'm on a journey, and we're all on a journey. And I don't have it figured out, and none of us really do. And, I have my beliefs, I have my opinions, but, 90% of them are just that. And, there's a few things that I have to just stand firm on. And there's other things that it's like, if you believe that, that's cool. We can still be friends. I don't care.
But it really is true. We just, we do the best we can, and we, look, to God for guidance. And of course we look to, other people for guidance too. And sometimes they point us in the right direction and sometimes they don't. A lot of times I point myself in the wrong direction. And all that wandering is me, looking so hard for something, and God's saying, why don't you look over here? And I'm like, no, I don't think so. I think I'm going to go over here. And it's interesting to see where you've come around, you know, full circle. And I think a lot of times that's like the religious experience for me anyway, is that, you know, I have this base and I start at the base and I try to take it other places. And God's like, hey, why don't you come back down here? You know?
Sure. I mean, it's crazy. You know, for several years, I begged the Lord to let me leave the church I was in because I wasn't happy. And finally, I just got to the point, I said, that's fine. If that's what you want, if you want me to sit here and not be happy, if you know, if you want me to say that you're enough, then that's cool. I'll do that. And as soon as he did that, through my own mistakes and stupidity, he facilitated a way for me to get out. So it was interesting.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. I was going to ask you about changing churches, and you know that you had written at like this last church before this one, that you know was nothing wrong with the church. It just wasn't quite a right fit for you guys.
Right.
So.
That's correct. Yeah, it was. I mean, it was a 30-minute drive, which is from where we live. You know, that's quite a bit to have to drive, and it was hard for us to be involved. So. It just didn't work out. It was great. I have good friends there. You know, it just didn't, just wasn't the right place.
I guess I feel like a church, for me, a church is just like a doctor. You've got to kind of shop around until you find the one that works for you, because it's about the people that are in the church and the message that's coming to you through the church. You know, and then you say here, well, you stayed at a church really longer than you wanted to, that wasn't sitting right for you.
Right.
I guess I don't have a question there other than.
Well, I think the thing is, you know, whatever church you're part of, you have to make a connection with the folks that you're there with. I mean, I don't understand that, you know, I've seen a few people that they just slip in, slip out. You know, I'm like, what are you doing? And I'm not trying to criticize them. I just don't understand it, because whatever church I'm a part of, I want to, you know, I want to know that this guy is, you know, has this issue and this person has this issue. And there's nothing wrong with that. We're all just a bunch of misfits. And let me tell you, at my church, we're a bunch of misfits. I mean, that's really what even my pastor says. Yeah, because we have... It's incredible. You know, we're just a motley crew of people that on the surface you think, what do these folks have in common? And there's only one thing, you know, and that's our faith. And so that's what ties us all together. So
yeah, that's a good big thing.
Right.
Well, you mentioned the campground. I wanted to ask you about that. You've been doing that. Did you say you've been preaching at the campground for 10 years?
Yeah, this is my 11th year at this campground. So I started there in the fall of 2002. I've done some campground ministry off and on before that, but I just kind of slid into it. A friend of mine was... the missions director of an association that kind of a lot of different campgrounds had these, what they call us chaplains, had this, you know, out in there. And this one came open and he said, hey, you want to do it? And I said, sure. And ended up doing it the rest of that year. And the next year rolled around. And the next thing I knew, I looked at my wife, Jan, the other day and said, or last year, and said, this is my 10th year. And she goes, yeah, you're right. And so it's kind of interesting. I describe it, you know, there's some guys that are itinerant preachers. You know, all they do is go around and preach, you know, at special events at churches, or they're full-time evangelists or whatever. I have an itinerant congregation. I go to the same place every Sunday, but I have different people. But I have the same different people coming all the time. So for, you know, 10, 11 years now, I've been, getting to know the same people. I'll see them 3 or 4 times a year, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is cool. I never heard of such a thing. I didn't know. That's what I wanted to know. I was like, what exactly is a campground preacher? You know. So do you have a background in ministry? I know that you had were interested in going in the you just wrote about this.
Yeah.
And I know I'm going to get it wrong. So you tell me.
I forget what year now, late 90s or something. I mean, I felt for a long time that the Lord was calling me to ministry. And in my mind, that meant one thing. You know, the only thing I knew was either you had to be a pastor of some sort, or you had to be a missionary, or, you know, something like that. And so, you know, I did what you always do. You know, I wrestled with it for a long time because, golly, that's going to change my life.
Right, yeah.
But it was okay, and I went down to my church, to my church at the time and surrendered to the call of ministry and wrestled then with what to do with going to seminary and that sort of thing. And we actually did. We packed up in 2001. I quit a job. So we sold our house, quit my job, moved to Louisville, Kentucky, went to seminary. And, man, I was miserable.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it was just financially it was hard. You know, I did it stupidly. You know, had debt and all kinds of stuff.
So like a regular person.
Yeah. I mean, it was crazy, you know. I worked at UPS. Louisville has the biggest UPS hub in the country, and I worked there and got paid a little bit, but got insurance. And then I went and delivered newspapers after that because I worked from midnight till about 3 or 4 in the morning, yes, and then go deliver newspapers on a newspaper route, come home, maybe catch a little nap, go to school, go, and I worked in a running store, sold running shoes and that sort of thing, so I worked 3 jobs and did pretty good, you know. I came away with about a 3.5 GPA, and I think that's cool, but...
Yeah.
But some, you know, man, it was just, it was miserable. My wife was miserable. My kids were miserable. And so we packed it up and came back home. I got on back at the company I had left the year before, and I've been there ever since.
So that's kind of another story of back to where you started from.
Yeah, I mean, and that seems to be a theme in my life, that I just kind of come full circle to where I've been. You know, and what I've come to realize over these 11 years is that we're all in full-time ministry. We just don't realize it. I'm a full-time minister. I preach at a campground, and, you know, in a couple of weeks I'll be, I get to do the Wednesday night service at my church. And I write a blog, and I come in contact with people every day. So I'm a full-time minister.
Yeah.
You know, I may not be vocationally, I'm not getting paid for it, but that's beside the point. I'm a full-time minister, so.
Wow.
That's kind of my passion, and that's kind of where I'll be going. I had a guy ask me the other day, he called me, I've changed positions at where I work, and he said, well, is this job the desire of your heart? I'm like, no. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love my job.
Yeah.
I love going to work every day, you know, and I love my team. I manage a team of 11 folks, and I love doing it. I love my job. You know, I try to do a great job every day, but it's not the greatest desire of my heart. You know, it facilitates the desire of my heart, so if that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely. I think that that's probably one of the things that is... can be hard, I guess, for some people to reconcile, is that what our dreams will look like. They're not always going to look like what we think they're going to look like. And sometimes you're living your dream and you don't even realize it.
Sure. I mean, like, you know, Psalm 37:4 is, you know, I think, a perfect example that, you know, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Well, mm-hmm. That doesn't mean if you wanted a like I used to want. I wanted a big house. I wanted a candy apple red Porsche and two kids and a dog. And, well, you know, I've got my wife, I've got my kids, I've got my dog. I do have my dog. I don't have the Porsche, but that doesn't matter to me. I go and I'm like, okay, Lord, here, I don't know what my dream is. What's my dream? You tell me what my dream is. And he's been good about shaping that dream over the last, year and a half. And I think that's where I've come. You said, you know, part of that you checked in, and I guess I seem more comfortable or a little bit more stabilized or whatever. I'm not sure what word you used, but I think he's said, okay, here's what I really want you to do, you know, and here's what I want you to say, you know, in your blog, and here's what, I'm writing a book, you know, I'm writing a short ebook that I want to give away. You know, I don't want to be paid for it. I just want to write it. It's been on my heart, and I think that came from him. Yeah, you know, so.
Well, that's very inspiring, and actually, when you said that, I thought, you know, I don't know what my dream is, and I have struggled, you know, from the time I went to college with not knowing what I wanted to do with my life, and I mean, it has caused some real issues, you know, mental and emotional issues for me, and I just realized that I have not prayed about that. I've not said, hey, you tell me. I've just struggled with not knowing, but I never asked. So I guess I need to do that, don't I?
I mean, I would definitely encourage everybody to do that. My wife's uncle goes to the church that we go to, and he had told me about 10 years ago, shortly after I had surrendered and gone to seminary, he said, Larry, he said, your ministry is going to be unique. I said, oh, okay. You know, so I didn't know what that meant. I think I'm just now starting to see what that means, you know. And I'm kind of more excited about it now because he's, you know, putting me in some positions where I'm reaching people in a different way. So
yeah, that is exciting. And sometimes I think all the time that I just don't listen. You know, if I was a little quieter and listened a little more, I might hear something.
I need to do even more of it. So I'm still trying to figure that out how I can do that.
Well, it sounds like you're doing really wonderful. Hey, I wanted to ask you before we, you know, tie this up about resignation. And that's the short story you're writing on Saturdays. And yep. On the very first one, you had said, hey, I'm just going to do this for, you know, a couple weeks. But like you said, you're on 40 or 41 at this point. Is that right?
Yeah, I didn't really have a plan. I wrote it just thinking, oh, I'm going to do this for a few weeks or so. I didn't have a real plan about it. And my wife, Jan, liked it. And she said, you know, keep writing it. And I didn't know where to wrap it up, and so I'm 40 chapters into it, and I kind of see how I'm going to wrap it up now. So I'm planning on about 12 more. I'm planning on 52 chapters of it. I'll finish it up in about October, I guess.
How did you come up with the idea? How much of it is based on your own experiences, or?
Well, you know, I'm sure there's me in there, but what's funny is that those characters have kind of. They're their own characters. I don't know how to explain that other than that. And what I've done is I've written a point of view story. So each chapter is from a different character's point of view. So each week you have a different, you know, then I'll return back to the different characters. And some of them have kind of been written out. They're not there anymore. And we've added more, I've added more characters. But I just kind of start you know, it's kind of just evolved, and really, it's kind of weird. What really cut my a little bit of inspiration to that was Game of Thrones. I thought, wow, you know, what if you wrote a Game of Pulpits? you know, and so that's a little bit of it, and I've learned a lot. It's really, you know, it's pure, raw, unedited. I mean, I usually get up early on Saturday mornings. I write it, and Jan wakes up, and she goes, "Have you written my story yet?"
Oh, that's so sweet.
And I say, "Well, I'm almost done with it," and so I'll finish it up, and I publish it, and she reads it, and she's enjoyed it. So it's kind of she wants me to write more. She wants me to she really wants me to my writing to work out and become a full time writer, and so I can. You know, I can quit work and she can quit work. And, you know, the dream that every writer has.
Right. Well, you know, and you do have a talent for that. And I thought, oh, look at this. This is fiction and it's good. And I've read the first one and the last one. So I'm lost. I'm like, I don't know who this guy is.
Yeah, you don't know what's going on there.
Yeah, I need to start over.
Catch up there. It'll... Yeah, I write about, it ends up about 1,000 words every Saturday.
Yeah, that is crazy that you get up and you write it and you publish it and there you go.
Yeah, I mean, it just, I don't know. I can crank it out. I'm not saying it's good, but I can crank it out.
Well, I'm excited to go back through and read all of those. And I had one last question for you on Twitter. Most of my interaction with you, or at least reading and sometimes talking to you, is on Twitter. And you have the Dunn Holler Report. What is that? I mean, I get it, but I wanted you to explain it to me so I really totally fully understand.
Well, the Dunn Holler is the holler. Jan hates it when I call it a holler. But if you listen to my voice, I sound so country. It's gotta be a holler. It can't be a hollow, or you know, at best I can say holla. But it's a holler. I don't know. I just started it a few years ago. I thought, you know, what's going on outside this morning? That here in the holler that I can tell people about, and it's, you know, hey, it's raining. It's whatever.
Well,
something crazy.
Going on. I'm sorry. It makes me think of those temperature, I mean, weather things with the string. If it's wet, it's raining. If it's moving, it's windy. And so Dunn, where does the Dunn come from? I guess that's what I wasn't sure. Is that where you live?
The Dunn Holler?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's just the name of the road and the name of the holler. I live between a couple of hollers. I live in Dunn Holler and Red Holler is the first one that you come to before mine, and Pigpen Holler is the next one.
That's cool as crazy. I love that.
Yeah, and so we just have a series of hollers there, that, and I started doing that, and I quit for a while, and then my aunt kind of got on to me. She goes, "Where's your Dunn Holler Report?" I went, "Oh, okay." I didn't really know anybody paid attention, you know, so I started doing it, and, you know, it's... I sit there and I listen to watch the news and interact with our local news guys on Twitter while I'm doing that. So I just give my own weather report, news report, whatever's happening in Dunn Holler, and you know, it's kind of stuck, and now people kind of depend on it.
I was gonna say that's how I feel. I feel like, you know, if it went away, I would be sad, even though I don't live there. I kind of picture you standing at the back porch with your, you know, your hand cupped around your mouth, hollering out to the neighbors, "Here's what's happening right now in the neighborhood."
Yeah, well, you if you really wanted to see what it was like, there's about 10 of us that live back there. So there's we're my closest neighbors are my in-laws. They're about 150 yards away. My next closest is Jan's uncle, and he's a quarter of a mile away, so we're rather sparse.
Well, I'm out of questions, but I wanted to tell you that I have really, really loved talking to you and getting to know you a little bit better. You just what I thought is like a real nice, open guy who I could, you know, if I lived in the holler, I think we'd be friends.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
I just put that pressure on you.
This has been a lot of fun. I really didn't know what to expect and how it would go, so it's been cool.
Well, you're really just been really fascinating, and I have loved, I've just loved talking to you and picking your brain a little bit. So thank you so, so much for saying yes. I was afraid a little bit that I had pressured you publicly on Twitter. And you're like, well, okay, I guess I will.
I just didn't, you know, you don't ever think you're fascinating or interesting enough.
Oh, you are. But, you know, I think everybody, like, you know, like you said, we all have our own stories, and, you know, you're telling your story, and I'm glad that you shared some of it with us here, so.
It's been a blast.
All right, well, thank you, and that's it, and goodbye.
All right, thanks, Michelle. See you later.
My thanks to Larry Carter, who you can follow on Twitter at LarryTheDeuce, or on his blog, deuceology.com. And if you'd like to meet other people I almost know, you can subscribe on iTunes or on the Stitcher app. For links to all of my guests and the people, places, and things that they talk about, you can go to peopleialmostknow.com.